Hallelujah. We're going to go through 33 of 34 parts tonight of Leviticus. we're going to read through all the lineage tonight of all the biblical names. Kidding. I'm going to share just a few scriptures tonight, just the power of prayer. And then we got some other important stuff going on tonight, like, you know, chocolate eggs and, you know, all that good stuff. Pizza. So, you know, real spiritual stuff. But anyway, we want to kind of continue tonight. I just want to share with you, I was just listening to, and I was sharing with Adrian earlier, on the way over here, it just really blessed me. I was listening to Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, about, it was an old recording of him talking about, like, the, it was right before Rhema, the Rhema Bible Training Center. Now it's Rhema Bible College. The Rhema Bible Training Center, when I went there, and Gary, when we went there, Adrian and I and Gary and Deb, but he was talking about it like right before the very first class was going to start, and just, he's talking about the power of prayer. It really just blessed me to listen to Brother Hagin talking about, you know, the excitement of the school and everything starting. But a couple of things I just want to share with you tonight, a few scriptures, because we were talking about prayer last week. Today, I just want to share a few scriptures about prayer, about this really the importance and the power of prayer. And then next week, of course, we got Easter coming up. But I want to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And while you're turning there, I want to look at Acts chapter 2 as well. But we'll start, actually let's start in Acts chapter 2. I'm sorry, let's start Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I got about three scriptures here, and then we'll be very, very quiet, and we'll hunt for chocolate eggs afterwoods. Elmo Fudd. Oh yeah, I'll probably be like, what? Is there something wrong with him? Can I talk right? That's old school, you know. That's when cartoons, they used to beat each other up and laugh about it, you know, and they, you know, throw other people and, you know, ovens and light it on fire and all these violent things going on. And I still think that's funny, so I'm sorry. anyway, all right, I just Looney Tunes, I love Bugs Bunny, he cracks me up. But anyway, I digress. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And I just want to, you know, often in the Bible, it's for us today, and I actually know people that have experienced things, and that, well, I've experienced some things too, but I'm saying I've known people that have experienced some Acts, the book of Acts things. We have, but this is very interesting because Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, talking about the disciples and the plus one, right? Because Judas Iscariot had committed suicide, there's only 11 left, they drew straws, which was not real spiritual. You know, it's just like, hey, whoever takes the longest one, you're going to be the guy that joins us, right? That's not very spiritual. But they didn't know about being led by the Spirit yet. They didn't know that yet. So, you know, many scholars, and I kind of believe too, again, you can, I think Apostle Paul was actually probably supposed to be the 12th disciple. I think he was supposed to probably be the one that added to it, but again, they just didn't know anything yet. Apostle Paul wrote, you know, most of the New Testament, but I digress, so you can agree or disagree, it doesn't really matter. But Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Now, Jesus, we see there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, tells the disciples, you need to sit and wait in Jerusalem because they're ready to go. They're ready to go. Just, we got to go get this message out. We got to do these things. He says, wait a minute. You need to wait there. There's going to be a promise. And that's the only time we've seen the New Testament to wait. People say, well, I got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Nope. They did it one time. We don't have to tarry anymore. And so, verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, as it was filled all the house where they were sitting. Now they're in what we call the upper room, in the same place where they had the Last Supper. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire and sat on each of them. Here we go. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was a because of their prayer, there was some manifestations going on. People are like, well, does God hear my prayer? Yes, He does. Acts chapter 4. Let's turn a couple pages over. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And I'm talking about the power of prayer tonight. The power, the prayer spirit, again, faith-filled prayer, it gets results. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 says, and being let down, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. That's why it's very important to, you know, come together as believers in your own company. We see that over and over again where Peter was set and then he came back to his own company. And why? Because there's strength when you can have like-minded people in faith. Verse 24, and when they had heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, your God, that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in it, whose mouth, by the servant David, you've said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And then he goes on, he says, the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ for a truth against the holy child Jesus, who you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. By his hand, the council determined before to be done. Basically, they were going to crucify him. In verse 29, and now the Lord beheld their threatenings and granted unto the servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. So we see that because of prayer, they had supernatural boldness. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Again, there were signs and wonders following after that in the name of Jesus. And when they had prayed, here we go, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. So we see where they're praying that there is an actual shaking. It is actually being manifest on the earth. That's not the only place. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 12. I believe, seeing things in prayer. And while you're turning to Acts chapter 5, verse 12, Brother Hagin says something really good, and it is true, because you see the pattern in the book of Acts that the supernatural begins where, I would just say this, that speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit is the gateway into the supernatural. It is the gateway. And you'll see that, you can say, the disciples were doing miracles before, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right, because Jesus was standing right next to them. He said, you do this in my name. So they were manifesting and doing things because they were doing it in Jesus' name. He was there with them. After he left, he said in John chapter 14, verse 16, he was going to send a comforter, someone, a paraclete, which means one that comes alongside. It was the name for that. And when he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will now come and replace me, my ministry. It doesn't replace Jesus, but I'm saying he carries on the ministry of Jesus here on the earth. I remember, Adrian and I, and I've talked about this before, but some things I haven't talked about sometimes maybe I'll be released to talk about some things, but I just remember we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in December of 96, and so we just both had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit right around the same time. She got it before I did. But I remember when I was, again, I talked about I was about 12 years old, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I had an open vision at that time. See, nothing like that ever happened to me until I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. That never happened to me before. And then later on, so I just kind of didn't understand it. Those of you who are familiar with kind of my testimony, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit later. I began to see things and experience things in the spirit realm I've never experienced before. And we're seeing these people, there's things in the natural that are manifest because of the spirit realm. And so, you know, I began to see things and have experiences. Again, we don't base our off of experiences, but they lined up with the Word. When I began to pray in the Spirit, when I began to do things, then I began to be able to see when I pray for something, I'd see results. And I understand how to pray. And then I began in the Spirit, and I'd pray in tongues. And I spent time, you know, praying in tongues. The Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians, I pray in tongues more than you all. And Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. So not only was he intellectually gifted, but he's also, you can't, again, rely on your own intellect. You have to have the Holy Spirit inspire you and help you to have revelation. See, information is one thing. Revelation is something else. Information comes from, you can sit in a math class and get information, right? I mean, you can sit in math class and, you know, don't ask me to do English because it ain't going to happen, right? I just thank God for Grammarly, right? Thank you, Jesus, right? I'm back to school and I'm just like, dear Lord, help me. And then I'm like, thank you, Lord, for Grammarly. But you can get information, can't you? But that doesn't mean you know what. Revelation means there's something comes from God and it takes the information you have and it makes sense and it puts things together and you have light on something. The Apostle Paul, which was Saul, he was going around persecuting Christians. Why? Because he had a whole bunch of head knowledge, but he didn't have any outlet to really have any use for it, right? We can say he was kind of like a useless idiot. You ever have those people that are like, they're just so smart, but they have no like real function whatsoever, you know? It's kind of like having a supercomputer not hooked up to the internet, you know? It's like, you got a lot of information, but you can't release it anywhere. It just doesn't do any good. The Apostle Paul, once he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how do we know that he got saved? Well, on the road to Damascus, he went blind there. And then, of course, temporarily. But what did he say? Lord, he called him Lord. And he received the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And then later became baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we see that there is every person that has been received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and got that, just that the anointing and just that supernatural ability to pray out those things, their life drastically changes in the Bible. They're just supernatural things that happen in the Bible because of prayer, and it's specifically about speaking in tongues. Let's look at, I'm kind of off topic here, Acts chapter 8. I know I said 5, let's go to 8 first. Acts chapter 8. In verse 5, we see this guy named Philip. And what was Philip doing? He was waiting on tables in Acts chapter. He was helping the Grecian widows, wasn't he? And the Hebrew went, well, there was a big squall going on. The Hebrew, they're getting more than we are. And they're getting this and they're getting that. And the apostles decided, you know what? We don't have time to deal with this right now. We got to have some folks coming in to take care of this stuff. It's actually going to be on the up and up. So, you know, we see Stephen, we see Philip, we see other men. They pull in and they're waiting on tables and they're helping this ministry. And then what happens? It says specifically in the book of Acts in chapter 6, it says, you can read it later, they were men full of the Holy Ghost. So if they were full of the Holy Ghost, that means they're praying in tongues, right? There's an evidence there. What do we see here? Philip, verse 5, went down to the city Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, wait a minute. Here's this guy. All he's doing is waiting on tables. That's it. In just a couple chapters before that. Now he's going down there. He's doing missionary work. He's doing more apostolic things. This is verse 6, and the people with one accord listened to what he had to say. Philip, and here we go, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. What's the determining factor? He's filled with the Spirit of God. And then it goes on, and it says, verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed again. There was miracles. Verse 7, unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and taking the palsy and lame were healed. So we got people are getting physically delivered and spiritually delivered, and all these wonderful things are happening. And then in verse 8, it says, there was what? Great joy in the city. Okay? And let's skip down to verse 14. Now, many people will go, well, they just got healed, they got delivered, and there grows great joy, and we see people, you know, because he said he preached Christ unto them, so we know they got many people got saved. They got healed and then they got delivered. We can go, great, the job's done. Wrong. Verse 14, now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, right? They had received the word of God with miracles, and they got saved. They sent unto them Peter and John. What? I mean, like Philip's job is incomplete? Yes, it is. It is. See, we always think, you know, everybody, you know, most churches around here, we think about people getting healed and delivered and everything. Well, that's so wonderful. We got all these people saved, and, you know, we got all these bragging rights, and yay, it's all wonderful. And then, but we're seeing in the Bible that the head honchos come down, Peter and John, the big guns, that were with Jesus, came down and like, you're still off, right? You still just don't have it quite yet. And what does it say? And they sent them Peter and John, verse 15, and when they were come down, prayed for them, but what? They might receive, they might get saved? They might get more healings? No, it says they might, what? Receive tongues. It doesn't say that, does it? It says the Holy Spirit. Receive a person. How many religious people are always obsessed with speaking in tongues? You all speak in tongues. No, I have the person, the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, on me, and a byproduct, that is tongues. Right? Okay, I'm going to show you something here. I don't have any holes in my socks. Right? This is a shoe. Might not be really that great. But guess what? We can say this is the Holy Spirit, and tongues come with it. Right? See my shoe? I don't say, can you give me a pair of tongues? I say, give me a pair of shoes, and tongues is just part of the package, right? If I say tongues, right? Spiritual insight, maybe that's the strings. Maybe the soul of the shoe. See, all of these parts make up my shoe, but it's still a shoe. And we're trying to say things like, well, you know, those tongue things. No, it's part of the Holy Spirit. It's just a byproduct, right? It's like steal, kill, and destroy. We don't say that, you know, well, it's part of the DNA of the devil. His steal, kill, and destroy, isn't it? I promise I won't trip on myself, so let me tie my shoes. Everybody's like looking at me. All right. So it doesn't say receive tongues. He says what? Receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is a person of the Trinity. Verse 16. For as he have fallen upon, for yet he has fallen upon none of you. What he's saying to you guys is you're born again, but you don't have, nobody's received the Holy Spirit yet. Only you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What that means is when you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, it means you're saved. That's a baptism. There's different baptisms. There's baptism of water, baptism, you know, into Holy Spirit, baptism. John had a baptism. We see baptism in the body of Christ. Anytime you see baptized in Jesus' name or baptized in Jesus or in the Lord, that's saved. Because you're baptized in his body. And then verse 17, and then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Here we go. And when Simon, he's a sorcerer, we didn't talk about that earlier, saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. What's he offering? Because he saw a power. He saw something. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, turn back there. So all of these things, Acts chapter 5, verse 12, we see the apostles who were filled with the Spirit, who were prayers. You can read through this. It talks about signs and wonders following. And there was, laid hands on people on Solomon's porch. And then verse 16, and there was a multitude out of the cities round about. Here we go, Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them who were vexed with the Spirit, and they were healed, every one of them. Verse 15 is really interesting. In so much that they brought forth, here we go, the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting so many results and you're spending time with God and prayer works. These people are praying people, and therefore the shadow is getting people healed. Remember how Jesus said, greater things you'll do than me? Well, Jesus wasn't getting people born again when he was here yet because he hadn't died and gone to heaven. I mean, he hadn't had died, paid the price, presented his blood to the mercy seat yet. Now, we don't save people. Jesus does, right? But we're the messengers. And then finally in verse 16, verse 24, Acts 16, verse 24, we'll close here. I'll go ahead and read this. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the outer prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So we're seeing Paul and Silas were in prison. Here we go, verse 25. And at midnight, isn't that the darkest time? The darkest time when that's what we want to give up, right? Everything seems lost, right? Midnight. It's the darkest time. They prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, what do they have to praise God about, right? This is just not good. And suddenly. Everybody say, and suddenly. Suddenly. And suddenly, right? God does those suddenly. He just does instance after a while. Sometimes he says, and there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and there everyone's bands were loosed. I've had experiences in prayer too where it's just like, whoa, it's pretty amazing times. Prayer does work. No matter what it is you're going through, rely on God. Amen? Let's not have a second, if all else fails, we'll just pray. No, go to prayer first. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, here we go, so faith without works is dead. If we don't open our mouth, go before God, petition for ourselves what we need, having faith, because guess what? People who don't have faith will not pray. People in the world will not pray to the Lord for things. They don't ask God because they don't believe Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 11. They don't believe that God is real. What are the two criteria for faith? Number one, believe that God is real, right? And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're just not receiving because we're not spending time praying. You know? Yeah. I've spent a lot of time praying for things that have nothing to do with me. I've prayed for our nation. I've spent hours praying on just abortion would be abolished. And guess what? It was abolished on a federal level. Right? And I'm sitting there going, now what am I, you know how many times, like at the old church building, I'd be praying things, I'd be praying for three things. Number one, abortion would be abolished. I spent hours and hours praying that our the corruption in our government would be fixed. And I also spent hours praying that our financial system would collapse and it would be done right. This fiat currency system, this Babylonian financial system that has put us in bondage is destroyed. And guess what? We're on our way. And people thought I was a kook 15 years ago for praying these things out. I'm not the only one that's praying these things out. I know there's other people praying these things out. But guess what? And the other thing is I'm praying that this stuff will become common knowledge. And guess what? It is becoming common knowledge now. People just thought I was just a kook, right? I'm wearing a tinfoil hat and I'm just crazy. Guess what? It's kind of mainstream knowledge now, right? And I'm telling you what, you can just begin to pray for them. I know there's other people that are praying there too, but I remember just in there, and the Lord told me, he's like, the three things that are going to fall, abortion is going to be gone. Our political system, these people will be exposed and they'll be punished, and our financial system will be turned around. And we're seeing all three of those things happen. And I've said that 5 years ago, I said that 10 years ago, and I believe it now, and it's going to happen. Why? Because I pray and I see things in the spirit realm. You know, the really cool thing is when you pray and you get in the spirit realm and you spend time with God, you don't need other people's approval. All you need is God's approval. All you need is just hear from him about things and pray things out. And we're going to see more exciting things. I've seen exciting things in this church too. Amazing things in this church. That, you know, I believe that God is going to use all of us, a church body collectively, as part of the end time revival. There are people in this area that they need this. I've just listened to Brother Hagin. It just really encouraged me just tonight about, he was just so adamant about, like, we need to get this message out to people, you know, this message of faith. This is like in the early 70s, you know, right? I think Rhema started in 74. But this message that there's hope, that there's faith, that praying is real, and God does answer prayer and wants to help us, and He's willing to guide us and to help us and show us the way and to be there for us and to heal us and to give us soundness of mind and wholeness of spirit and our body all whole and connected and relationships healthy. Amen? Amen. And I believe that we're going to be able to see those things and we can walk in those things. So as we see, I just read as we close here, as we read these things in the book of Acts, we're seeing, you know, earthquakes happen. We're seeing just dramatic supernatural things happen. And we think that we pray that God isn't doing these things. He is. He hears our prayers. Things are moving on our behalf. And I remember Kevin Zadai talking about one time. He said the Lord showed him that as he's praying, it's like, and we're praying in the spirit realm, it's like like nuclear weapons going off in the spirit realm. We are attacking. We are just absolutely obliterating the enemy. And that's why the devil fights so much against speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit, because we're praying mysteries unto God, according to 1 Corinthians there. We're praying mysteries unto God, and guess what? He doesn't know what we're saying, and he can't understand anything, and it just means that God is doing things by code, and He can't control things, and there's things in the Spirit that He has no control over, and hallelujah. Amen? And we are, you know, can have victory. I just remember so many times that Adrian and I should have been hitting cars, and you know, we could have been hit by cars and other things too, and just on and on and on and on and on. God has done things for us. You know, people say, well, it's just God's time for them to go home to be with the Lord. No! I think sometimes we're just not led by the Spirit. And we just need to pray things out. Amen? Father, we thank You so much for this time together, Lord Jesus, and we praise You and thank You. And we just think that we're going to get a revelation of prayer and how much power we have because of Your Spirit, Lord God, and because of what You do for us, Lord Jesus, and the price You paid at the cross for us. We thank You so much for the victory at the cross. Death, hell, and the grave is defeated, and the power of darkness is destroyed, and we walk in the victory tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I also just pray over our food that's coming, Lord Jesus, that it is blessed, Lord. Sickness and disease is removed from our midst. We just pray that it is blessed as we eat it, and we glorify You and honor You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we'll just go, I'll turn it over, and we've already prayed for the food, and then we'll go ahead and, whoa, perfect timing. That's what I'm talking about. Woo!